Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to our study in Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 27, titled The Emmaus Exposition by Jesus. You can find the conclusion of this two-part study at our website, BBFOhio.com. And if you can't join us in our little church building in Worthington, you can open BBFOhio.com in your browser at 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. Sundays, as well as 7 p.m. Wednesdays, and our live stream player pops up as soon as we go live. Those times are all Eastern time zone. You will also find our contact and donation information there as well. That site address again is BBFOhio.com. And now we begin with the current events update and then our study in Luke 24, 13 through 27, titled The Emmaus Exposition by Jesus. This is part one of two.
Our current events update. We've talked about this before. BRICS, B-R-I-C-S, it's a term that you might as well get used to. It is going to be around for a long, long time. Stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. Those are the five nations that make up BRICS. This is a little information regarding that. And you have the headquarters of NATO is in Brussels, Belgium, and you have the headquarters for BRICS in Shanghai, China. And that you can contrast these two just by comparing them. The population of NATO nations is around almost 1 billion compared to 3.2 billion in BRICS. NATO nation member states include 30 right now, BRICS 5. And I think it might be 31 now that we've had one addition to NATO. The defense budget for NATO is higher at 1.03 trillion to half a trillion for BRICS. That'll change. As far as nuclear weapons, NATO has 6,095, BRICS has 7,000. So you can see that it's pretty head-to-head already. Total military personnel for NATO is 5.8 million, and BRICS has over 10 million. As far as active personnel, NATO has 3.7 million, and BRICS around 5.1 or almost 5.1 million. So that just gives you an idea of the fact that only five nations coming together with BRICS and they're equal or almost equal or even outdoing the NATO nations that number 30. And this is the new Cold War. That's the new Soviet Union. It's now BRICS. And it's soon to become BRICS Plus. They will be adding even talk of Canada and Mexico joining with BRICS. Now, I don't believe Canada would, but, you know, they've got a Marxist as prime minister right now. So it's hard to tell. There's also Tunisia is in immediate future talking about joining. That's a small nation, but it is just another example. This is from the Russian news agency where they're claiming 13 countries are showing an interest in joining BRICS. And well, that remains to be seen. So we're... what that means is a number of things, but one thing that chart didn't show you is that we're witnessing the death of the dollar in preparation for the mark of the beast. The dollar, Americans, most Americans, and I include myself in this, we don't really grasp the economic system. It's a big tangled web of deceit. Our money is controlled by a secret cabal called the Federal Reserve. We have... all kinds of agreements with countries that aren't even official treaties that involve their use of the dollar in order for us to do business with them and that sort of thing, and that's all crumbling.
Brazilian President Lula da Silva suggests BRICS nations should exclude the U.S. dollar within their trading bloc, which would weaken American influence abroad. Da Silva made these remarks at the New Development Bank, which many economists have floated as an alternative to the Western-centric International Monetary Fund. BRICS consists of Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, and accounts for more than 40% of the world's population. For more details on those stories and other current events, check out our nightly newscast on OAN Live starting at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, or visit our website at OANN.com.
left that ad on there for on purpose. It's a good resource. But the nations, the BRIC nations right now, they're still using the dollar. And when that changes, I mean, it's going to change things big time. This is the rallying call around the world when it comes to financial advice to international traders and the elite classes, but even on down to the retirement funds in Europe and all that kind of thing to get out of. They actually, I'm not going to try to teach this morning, but they buy interest in the dollar. And then they do their trades in dollars. And all that's about to change. And this is becoming the widespread advice. Get out of dollars.
Our currency is crashing and will soon no longer be the world standard, which will be our greatest defeat, frankly, in 200 years. There will be no defeat like that. That will take us away from being even a great power.
The BRICS nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, have announced plans to develop a new currency. Their goal is to reduce reliance on the U.S. dollar and other Western currencies.
I'm pleased to join you at the FedNow Early Adopter Workshop. Together, we'll be ready to launch the FedNow service between May and July of 2023.
D.C. If that happens, we're done.
A key difference with the CBDC is the central bank will have absolute control on the rules and regulations that will determine the use of that expression of central bank liability. And also, we will have the technology to enforce that.
For the people who work numbers, I am giving you free advice that those of you who are holding dollars, you surely might go into losses. You better do what you must do, because this market is going to be different in a couple of weeks.
What was he saying there, Andy?
So what he was basically saying is you need to get out of dollars and you need to do it quickly.
That's going on all over the world. Get out of dollars. Do it quickly. They're talking about just in a few weeks making this huge change. This is the consequence of either electing / and allowing cheating to put a Marxist in as president. So, you know, we're not panicking about it, but it is what it is. Sometimes we share news that has some really serious implications. Would you rather not know? Somebody told me this last week, said, you really need to look at this. And they were really not panicked, but they were very concerned. I didn't say, you know what, you just ruined my day. What are you doing giving me bad news? You're toxic. I want positive news. You know, we all want positive news, but folks, we need to know what's going on. And this is the reality of what's going on. We've got this Marxist, corrupt presidential administration. He's guilty of selling. He's under the influence of China. They bought and sold him. The Congress committee has uncovered the documents showing his money laundering from China and Ukraine. But your fake news media will not tell you this. I mean, when Watergate happened, they broke into a hotel to steal some campaign stuff. And it went ballistic. They're still, you know, making movies about it and everything. What Biden has done makes that look like less than a Sunday school picnic. And yet your so-called news media, a bunch of paid-off talking heads who don't have a brain in their head, do not tell you any of this. We are functioning under an Orwellian Marxist culture and government right now. Proverbs 22:3 says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple, which is a nice word for stupid, pass on and are punished. You can either take note of what's going on and deal with it, or you can just be stupid. And you'll be punished. And then, you know what a lot of those people do? Why, God? Why are you doing this to me? You're the one who was stupid, not God. Don't get mad at God. Amen. You can say it to America right now. When it really comes down, America gets punched in the mouth and decked and face down in the mud as a nation, and they're going, a lot of people right now don't even tell you they believe in God. They'll be doing that. Be wise. Get out of debt. If you have debts and you can get out of them, pay them off as much as possible. I'm just telling you, I'm not going to give anyone particular information, but if you can sell your house and downsize and own that house outright, do it.
Amen.
If you don't have a mortgage and you have the title deed to that house, you're less likely to lose it.
Amen.
And if you don't need that house that big anyway, then it's just common sense to do it. Get out of debt. Save with cash on hand. You need to have cash on hand. And it would even be advisable to have silver and gold coins.
Amen.
It's also advisable to have guns and ammo to protect all that.
Amen.
It's also advisable that to have more than you need so that you can barter.
Yep.
Talked about that last week. So stock up and prep. That's everybody's crazy, you know, that says that.
Yeah, he's one of those preppers.
I'm nowhere near what a prepper what I'd like to be. But you know what? Those people got hit with tornadoes yesterday. We're happy they prepped. They may be prepping for what's coming with the world situation. But when the tornado hit and they had the extra food and the money on hand, when all the electricity's out and they can't use an ATM and so forth, they were glad they had prepped. You just prep. I don't ever say prep for fill in the blank. You prep for any disaster that could happen. That would include a tornado. That could include floods. Whatever. You know, the Madrid fault blows, we're going to have a massive earthquake that could really wipe things out for a few weeks. You should be prepped and ready for that as much as possible. Buy food with shelf life. I threw away some coffee we had downstairs. It was Keurig cups. It was best diffused by 2016. Make sure you check the label for the shelf life. Not 5 years old. 5 years from out from today. And vote accordingly. Vote accordingly. Do what's right. I didn't say they don't cheat. They do. I know some places you live, you vote, your vote might not even matter. But you know what it matters to? It matters to God. God has told you to vote. God has told you to do what's right. God tells you to do a lot of things that in your own mind. Paying taxes. I've talked about that. It'll be our devotional on tax day, which is on the 18th this year, by the way. Just a friendly reminder. And on the 18th of tax day, I think our tax system is illegal, unconstitutional. It's corrupt. The money's going to be used by a bunch of crooks. And I still pay my taxes.
Amen.
Doing wrong is never right.
That's a good thing.
Amen. And so what do? You vote. You tell people, yeah, I voted. Who'd you vote for? Glad you asked. And tell them why. I don't even have to tell you who. If it's somebody who's against abortion, he's against Sodom, against Marxism, against gun control, and stands for the Constitution. That's who you tell them you voted for.
Amen.
1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. There you go. That's what you do. Be sober. Don't be drinking and getting drunk. Don't be smoking pot and taking illegal drugs. Don't be on psych meds so you just look like a zombie all the time. Drooling. I drool for Jesus. Amen? That was a joke. Don't drool for Jesus. Get off the... Be sober-minded. Amen? I like what I'm saying. You may not, but I do. I'll amen myself. Amen! I think what I'm saying is biblical. I think it needs to be said. And I think there's a... Now, some of you may be tired or whatever. But you know what? We need to be more vocal. We need to take a stand. We need to speak. And if you won't do it here, where are you going to do it? Amen?
Amen.
Luke 24. Pick it up in verse 13. Luke 24, beginning verse 13. The Emmaus Exposition by Jesus. We left off with the empty tomb. Amen?
Amen.
He is risen.
He is risen.
And we pointed you to our chart, still available, always available on our website, but right now it's on the front page of the website as of this study, this Sunday, bbfohio.com, and it charts out the days from Crucifixion Day, Nisan 14, to Resurrection Day, Nisan 18, and this year happened to be on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day. So it worked out good. And now let's read. I'll have you read the odd verses with me, so you jump right in, beginning verse 13 through 27. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Amen? So, the apostles and closest disciples have remembered Jesus' prophecy about rising from the dead. And that's where we left off in verse 8. And they remembered his words. So they are remembering that Jesus had said he would rise from the dead. But it's obvious that not everybody is believing the reports. Over in John, you read about Thomas. He's slandered and called doubting Thomas. Thomas didn't doubt. He just simply required evidence. That's not doubting. And so I don't call him doubting Thomas. I'm just calling him Thomas. But these guys, they're kind of in the same boat. They've heard all this, but they haven't seen Jesus, or at least they don't think they have. But the majority of his disciples are in a state of disarray and filled with confusion after all these events. So that's where we pick up verses 13 and 14. Now, I want to tell you this. I've talked to a lot of people who spent a lot of time studying the Bible. And then when I talk to them about these events, they're really not aware of what is in here because they're always looking for the big fireworks. Let me tell you something. You should read the Bible, and that's why we teach it this way, because we're trying to help you learn how to read the Bible. You read the Bible and you look at it and you ask, what does it say? I'm not talking about some Gnostic mystical revelation. I'm saying that the power in the Word of God is simply understanding what it says. Amen. And you'll go to churches. Somebody was telling me this weekend that they had talked to a pastor and asked him if they taught the Bible. And when he described what he was teaching, it was always, oh, well, we're doing a series on fill in the blank. And it was a series on, you know, how to be a good neighbor. Well, State Farm is there, so we don't need that. I mean, no, I'm kidding. We should be good neighbors, but
We need to learn the Bible. Going, look up there. Can some of you maybe can't turn your heads, but there's a sign up there on the wall. What's that say?
Simply teaching the Bible. Simply.
Yeah. I am telling you, if we could get that kind of revival in churches where they go back to that, you would see a transformation of this country. But most people are going to go to a church today where they will not learn anything about the Bible. So I want you to have that in mind as we go through these verses. Verses 13 and 14, where it says, two went the same day to a village called Emmaus. And it says it was about 70 furlongs. That's about 7 miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And so they're being biblical here. How many of you read in our, if you're reading along with our Bible reading calendar, we're in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy says we'll talk of these when we're walking in the way, when we're sitting down at home or standing up, whatever. It's supposed to be a lot of talk among believers about God's Word. A lot of talk about not just Bible prophecy, but that's a good conversation to have. But we talk about the Word, and it's to the world outside, they should look at us and think we've got a problem. You know, you talk about that book all the time. I know a few of you told me the same thing. You're trying to talk to somebody, and they'll tell you, all right, stop quoting that book. Oh, yeah. Say something. Tell me your own feelings. Tell me what you think. Yeah, I think the book's smarter than me. That's what I think. Amen. That's the meekness and humility that should be on demonstration in your life, is that people know you don't think a whole lot about yourself, but you have all your trust in this Word. You think a lot about the book. You put it on a higher plane than your own feelings, your own opinions, worldly philosophies, and so forth. So these guys are walking along, and they're talking about what's been happening. And then verse 15 and 16, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned. Again, Isaiah says, let us come and reason together. A lot of people think Christianity is all like emotions, and they'll call it spiritual and everything, and they check their brains in. That's not biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity is reasonable. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Yes, we believe in things not seen. So do atheists. Amen. So do atheists, agnostics, you name them. The question is, what is the best explanation for the evidence? When it comes to creation, the best explanation for the evidence we have is a creator God. Not that there was nothing and it exploded.
Amen.
When it comes to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the best explanation for the evidence is that Jesus is risen.
Amen.
And that you come to that conclusion based on your reasoning. But your reasoning can only be correct when you have come to a faith in this book.
Amen.
And when you have faith in this book and you approach this book, as Paul said, I thank my God always without ceasing that when you receive the Word of God, you received it as it is in truth, the Word of God, and not as the Word of man. I think I got this switch ready. You received it not as the Word of man, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh in those who believe. You cannot reason reasonably if you do not approach this book as the Word of God. So you know, a lot of people who have read this Bible and they're all still messed up in the head. It's because they approach this book with unbelief, which is unreasonable. You say, what? You look at the prophecies in this book. We're going to talk about in a minute, messianic prophecies. You look at the prophecies of Israel. You look at the prophecies that have already been fulfilled in the Old Testament. You look at the prophecies being fulfilled before your eyes right now from the Old and New Testament. And you see that not one has ever gone unfulfilled or mistaken.
Amen.
No other book, no other prophet like it in existence. So that then tells you this book is not a man-made book. It is the Word of God. Reasonably you come to that conclusion, and now you can reasonably see things from the light of God's Word. Anyone without that attitude cannot reasonably actually come to a sound conclusion about anything this book speaks of. Anybody without that attitude is unreasonable by definition, because they are rejecting the authority that has proven itself. That's unreasonable. And so all these people who think they're, I'm a free thinker. You know. Some guys, they love to call themselves skeptics.
I'm a skeptic by nature. I'm a critical thinker.
No, you're not. Not if you do not look at this book and see the fingerprints of God on it. You're not critical. You're a skeptic in the sense that you refuse to accept any evidence. Because if you will receive the evidence, you'll believe this book.